Hey everybody, Matt McCarthy and Junois Bleibel, the Rugby Rayman, back at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network for Rugby Wrap-Up here in New York City on West 35th Street. Junois, we had an electrifying Women's Rugby World Cup, England and France in a bloodbath. And right before that, USA playing lights out in a tough defeat by an unbelievable Black Ferns squad from New Zealand.
If you think about it in terms of money invested for the quality of product, the amount of talent and quality matches on display in the Women's Rugby World Cup has been just ridiculous.
Isn't that like a sabermetrics term? You got the money over quality, time, fan.
It's a nerd term. We'll call it a nerd term.
Yeah. But that's right in your wheelhouse, isn't it? Exactly. No offense.
Exactly. No, I'm a proud nerd.
Okay. All right. So I watch the matches and I'm yelling at the TV. I'm screaming and it's electrifying. You know, NBC Sports covered it, which is just great. I'm watching Team USA, heroic effort. And there's so many different women that played well for us. I'm sorry that I'm leaving some of you out because you all played lights out against New Zealand. And Portia Woodman and that pack from New Zealand are just, you know, otherworldly. And yet we were in it. We were a puncher's chance away. And, you know, I just, the performances were great. Emba, Parsons, Gray, Kelter, Tapper, the back three. Across the board, you ladies were all over the field. And we have to give a special salute.
Absolutely.
We had a special salute to our New York Rugby Club corner, Tiffany Faye and Alicia Washington. But Junior,
it was a bit like Raging Bull, like the USA women. And I don't think enough is said about this run that they've made. Of the four semifinalists, New Zealand, England, France, and the USA. USA is the only one that doesn't have a yearly tournament like the Six. And the New Zealand women's team is probably the most well-funded women's rugby team in women's rugby. And despite it all, despite the shoestring budget and all the challenges, these women fought and clawed and kept it
and
as close.
Hit.
Yes, and hit.
Oof. And I don't know if you saw the France versus England match, but the hitting there was unbelievable.
Yeah, there was just countless tackles where you're just like, wow, they were laying it all on the line.
Yeah, Marley Packer and Sarah Byrne had, I think, 17 tackles.
Oh, look at who's becoming a sports nerd.
17 tackles apiece, and that is more than I have had in my 30 years of crappy rugby.
Or will have.
Or will have by a long shot. That was just unbelievable. The hitting, the skill levels. Again, that was a 20-3 score, England on top of France. But that was not indicative of the game itself. Nor was the score between New Zealand and Team USA.
I think. But what we did see is the main thing that always pops out: the two largest player bases, the two most well-funded organizations. I mean, even no matter how much the England women complain, I think the USA women would kill for the opportunity to be that well-funded to even get to that level. And you saw it in the last 20 minutes of each game, the more well-funded, more structured, more team pulled away, as we always see with Tier 1, Tier 2. And that was the difference. But it wasn't for lack of effort by the USA or by France.
And there's depth on Team USA now. I mean, Hope Rogers coming off the bench and just imposing her will was exciting to watch. But we're just about out of time on this segment. And I just wanted to say the match between England and New Zealand moved from cable overseas to free TV, which is a big move. Thank you to Johnny Lewis for pointing that out.
My hope is, after the display of this tournament, will the ladies get a fairer schedule next time?
I don't know. And Johnny Lewis of Johnny Lewis Films also suggested that we combine the men's and women's Rugby World Cups so that there's always a match being played, and it's also optimizing the amount of rugby going on. Yeah.
I can't disagree with that. That's not a bad idea.
All right. Johnny Lewis Films with another great idea. And we'll be back with more great ideas and more rugby talk just after these words.
If you're just joining us, this is a big match and a big moment as Clijsters toes the line.
You know, John, Anderson has really been struggling out there today. mistake as Clijsters clinches another title. Don't let your nutrition get in the way. USANA, the official multivitamin of the WTA.
From around the globe, legends are arriving at Rugby Town USA. 20 teams, including the Olympic gold medal rugby champions Fiji. Rugby Town Sevens, August 25th through the 27th at Infinity Park in Glendale, Colorado. Tickets at rugbytownsevens.com.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Matt McCarthy and Joao Bleber at the Studio 34 Fantasy Sports Network for Rugby Wrap-Up in New York City. Joao, we've had another dandy, but we're going to end with our recurring segment, Stump the Rain Man. Last week, we had Nick the Greek and Alec Mills fail to stump you. And if you want to know what they were asking him, watch the episodes, folks. We need eyeballs on the episodes. Nick the Greek, Alec Mills, two different coasts, demographics, watch the shows. Anywho, thank you. Anywho, Junoir, this week we have the first question from a Scotsman in L.A., Wee Willie Lip. Wee Willie is about 6'5", by the way. And he wants to know which capped English international is looking to switch allegiances to Germany.
Well, Willie's talking about 60-cap England international Toby Flood, whose grandfather is from Germany. Due to the World Rugby Sevens loophole, Toby has stood down enough years from 15s, and if he just plays on the Sevens circuit with Germany, who I believe will be in the England leg of the Sevens series, or one of the European...
Wait a minute. Okay. When did Germany get into rugby and Sevens?
The last 5 years. They just lost, like, to Spain 12-7 in Hong Kong in the... promotion match.
To the point where Toby Flood is willing to play for Germany?
Yes, the English.
Wow. All right. Okay.
To get into the main series. Now, but before we go on...
This is a Stump the Rain Man segment. It's not a pontification stuff, all right?
Well, but it brings us to another point that's always been key to me. As a USA rugby fan, so we're clearly tier two, my point and support has always been that if you're a tier one player and you're no longer needed for your tier one team, you should be able to stand down 3 years or something, and then as long as the tier one union signs off on it, why not be able to play for a tier two team? I mean, technically,
nine. You play for one country, stay with the one country. Okay.
Well,
all right. That's enough.
Well, the Eagles
Where's
could
the
have
bell?
Jerome.
Where's
Cannon.
The bell?
I hit it.
You hit the bell. All right.
All right. Before we go on, we'll save the debate for later. But fans at home, please feel free to comment on the post and just tell us your thoughts. Should tier one players be able to step down and then play for tier two sides?
Okay. All right. There's a directive from Junois Bleber, the rugby rain man. Our next question is from Pat and Chip Holney. They're from the Chicago Blues and Chicago Griffins, Chip and Pat, and they want to know, who just won the Africa Gold Cup?
The winner of the Africa Gold Cup is the number one African team for a long time, not named South Africa, of course, which was Namibia. They beat Kenya 40-7 to become the Africa Gold Champions, which is, again, the title of the number one team in Africa, not named South Africa.
Good. And I have a Stump the Rain Man question to end our segment today, Junois Bleber. This tie, where is it from and whose was it?
It's from the 1977 USA Eagle Tour of England, and I believe the owner is Jesse Lopez.
Okay, Jesse Lopez took this tie off and gave it to me in Chicago because he is a good man. Jesse, thank you very much. And on behalf of Mr. Junois Bleber, who is amazing, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Jesse Lopez, and Mr. Dan Lyle, Matt McCarthy, for Rugby Wrap-Up at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network, here at the Renaissance Hotel on West 35th Street, signing off.